I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, the story of the most infamous chair in basketball history. Hint, it was mobile for a time. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
On Tuesday, Steph Curry was named the NBA's most valuable player for the second consecutive year, and the vote was not close. In fact, it was unanimous. First time that that's happened. Did Michael Jordan just have better competition when he was winning five MVPs?
Well, I think people abandoned the lunatic notion, which also happens, by the way, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, that if you haven't made anybody a unanimous choice yet, you can't ever make anybody one. You know, yeah, Babe Ruth wasn't a unanimous choice, so why shouldn't, you name the player after him? And apparently the people who vote for the NBA MVP award are more evolved than that.
Shortly after that MVP announcement, LeBron James, who's won the award four times, opined that the V in MVP is open to interpretation. He also said Steph Curry deserved the award. And then did he say, just saying?
Yeah, well, as we mentioned before, Bill, there are three sports arguments that I refuse to have. The first is who should win the Heisman Trophy. Second is who should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And third and final is what does the V in most valuable player stand for? Because these are pointless arguments that have no end. But I will tell you the honest truth. If I had a vote this year, it would have gone to LeBron James.
Steph Curry's Warriors will play Oklahoma City in the Western Conference Finals. Do we like that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, that's the matchup everybody's waiting to see. The Thunder seem to have risen to the occasion finally, and the San Antonio Spurs, alas for their magnificent run, looked really old in the last two games.
The NHL has reached its penultimate playoff round of the Stanley Cup Finals. It's Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay in the East, St. Louis and San Jose in the West. The Sharks have been infamous in recent years for their collapses during the playoffs. Do they break form this year and maybe hoist the cup?
Well, it's possible. I mean, they were taken to Game 7 by the Nashville Predators, but they came out and just blew the Predators away. They won the Game 7 5-0. So it's entirely possible that they're over that particular obstacle.
I know that you are a big Alex Ovechkin fan. His Washington Capitals were the best team during the NHL regular season and were early postseason favorites, but they were ushered out of the playoffs in the second round. Do they bounce back?
I have no idea. I can't figure this team out in the playoffs at all. Ovechkin, whose abilities I adore, gets taken out of his game much too easily in the postseason. He's got to find a way not to do that.
Let us turn to baseball, and I ask, would I be jinxing the Cubs if I mentioned that they are playing as well as any team has ever played in mid-May?
No, I watched them all last weekend, and let me tell you, that is a really good baseball team. It's a great mix of the right kind of free agents and young players who have come up through the system, and I think we've said this before, if Theo Epstein, having already gotten the Red Sox their first World Championship since 1918, manages to pull this off, I think he walks to Cooperstown in style.
Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals struck out 20 Detroit Tigers on Wednesday night, thus tying the record for K's in a 9-inning Major League game. Kerry Wood and Roger Clemens share that record. Is Scherzer afraid of success? Couldn't he have struck out one more guy?
I don't understand why that seems to be the 4-minute mile of pitchers. They can't get that 21st strikeout.
Mets pitcher Bartolo Colon got a lot of attention this week for hitting a home run last weekend. Big deal. Home run. People hit him all the time.
Bartolo Colon had never hit one. Plus, he looks like your uncle who drives a bus. And they were so impressed by it. The folks at Topps put the moment of his – actually, it's not the moment he hit the ball. It's the moment he's following through on a baseball card, and it sold better than any baseball card ever has ever.
60% of the PGA Tour pros have said that they would rather win the Players' Championship than an Olympic gold medal. Does this tarnish the return of golf to the games for the first time since 1904?
No. Golf should not be returning to the games, and I congratulate the PGA golfers for being honest about it.
Tom Brady said this week, and I'm quoting, "Concussions are just part of life." I wonder if this suggests that maybe pro football players are not quite as thoroughly educated about the dangers associated with their profession as Roger Goodell has been saying they are.
Well, not just that, but it's a further indication that Tom Brady is going to go through his entire career trying desperately not to say anything that alienates anybody. He knows this is wrong. He knows that it's not part of life. Getting 2 and 3 and 5 and 10 and 11 concussions is not part of any life except a life in which you are playing football.
The University of Nebraska football program is in the news this week. The university is being sued for its tradition of releasing balloons after the team's first touchdown. The claim is that the balloons are a hazard to children and to wildlife when they inevitably fall back to earth. Does this fly in court or just a lot of hot air?
Oh, boy. Somebody else said it besides me. Excellent. I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure there are some environmental concerns about dead balloons falling everywhere, but I can't believe that there's so many balloons get released that they're that much of an environmental damage. It all depends, I suppose, if the judge wants to go on vacation early or not.
And finally, Charlie, a man fishing in Loreto.
Sports!
Yeah, what? Fishing. It's a sport fishing. Loreto, okay. Mexico.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy landed a world record yellowfin tuna, except that it wasn't. Why not?
So he had filleted his record-breaking fish prior to reporting it, which apparently, under the rules of sport fishing, disqualifies it. But he will eat for years.
Can't you see the guy on the boat when they're telling him the rules and he's trying to put the fish back together? And say, no, look, it's okay. Look, you know, just okay. Look, this is what it looked like.
I mean, he's got a picture. I mean, it's a big fish, yeah. I'll tell you. It has to be weighed on a scale that's certified by the International Game Fish Association and by a registered representative. But unfortunately, this guy caught this tuna way out in a very remote place. He didn't have access for a scale, so he chopped it up before he made the call.
Yeah.
And it's really too bad. I hope he enjoys eating it, because I'll tell you what, that is good-looking fish.
His name is Robert, which is kind of a shame, where we could say, sorry, Charlie.
I have lived with that joke, ladies and gentlemen, for almost 50 years of my life. This is how you know Bill and I get along.
He didn't hit me.
Because I didn't come right over the table and rip out his eyeballs.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Fierce at SI.com, and he joins me each week on Only a Game. Hope he'll come back next week.
I'll be here.
Okay, thanks, Charlie.